96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It may be hard to believe that in 2017, in America, there are adults who cannot read. The reality is disturbing. Some 36 million Americans are considered functionally illiterate. Well, this is Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. And tonight we're talking about the broad and very serious implications of adult illiteracy. My guests are Daquana Harrison. She's board member with the Maryland Association for Adult Community and Continuing Education, and Jamie Fraggle. She is director of communications and advocacy for the Academy of Hope Adult Charter School in D.C. Also, we have Carla Gray. She is an adult learner. We're going to hear her story in just a bit. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment about adult literacy. Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly follow us on Twitter using our hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me start with Carla. Carla, you're 40-something, right?
Yes.
What's the story in brief? How did you get to the point of realizing that reading was an issue for you?
Well, I learned that reading was an issue for me. First, let me start by saying I was a eighth grade dropout.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I remember, you know, just saying to myself, and, you know, I watched my aunt as she went to college and sitting next to her and how she studied, and that never left the back of my mind. But, and the whole time that, wow, you know, just, you know, speaking to myself and knowing, you know, the importance of an education and reading was number one, it never left my mind. So what I did was I went back to school, and this is after I had a family of seven children and a husband as well, and I went back to school. I began picking up books and saying to myself, and I began to reach out and look for a support system. And I found that support system by going back to school and educating myself. From there, I kept moving on. From there, after obtaining my high school diploma, I went to college. I obtained my degree, which is in criminal justice. And from there, I began to take courses and certifications and kept myself busy. So even today, I implement that to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And by reading to them, I've seen my sons be successful, and I do have autistic children, and my sons are now at a 4.0. They're both are. They're 15 years of age at this time. And the importance of reading, I read to my six-year-old daughter from the time she was in my stomach. So the importance of that education has enabled me to pass that on to my children.
Well, let me ask you, because, you know, certainly, you know, your achievements are commendable considering, as you said, that you had dropped out at eighth grade. But, you know, between, you know, eighth grade and realizing that there was an issue, what was reading like after you dropped out? Could you read? What was that like?
It was hard for me to understand words, or it was not easy to communicate with people who was on a higher grade level than I was, and I just felt ashamed. So, you know, I began to just teach myself, you know, kept educating myself, and I kept trying. I kept reading. Reading, it didn't come hard for me. However, I knew that there were a lot of things that I didn't understand and know how to, you know, understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept reading. I kept trying, and that's why I am where I am today.
And something, and I think a lot can be said for that. And I certainly salute you for that. Daquana, is Carla's story unique?
Absolutely not. Unfortunately, in Maryland, as an example, we have 500,000 adults without a high school credential. And that doesn't even account for the adults who have a high school credential, but unfortunately they did not receive all of the education that they needed at that time or the supports that they needed while in their educational systems. And they came out with a high school credential, but without the reading and numeracy skills that they need to really, you know, get a job or to be successful in a college or certificate program.
Because, and Jamie, you know, she just mentioned, you know, high school credentials and diplomas, and certainly the paper is important. But I think this is a deeper conversation. The ability to read, to comprehend, to understand, this is really, really foundational to surviving in society, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Reading and literacy touch on so many other issues for adult learners and for residents in D.C. If you want to rent a house, you have to be able to read the lease that you have. If you are going to the doctor, you need to have the reading comprehension, the literacy skills to understand what the prescription bottle is telling you. You have to be able to understand how to critically think and be able to advocate for yourself, ask the right questions to the doctor. It's not just about reading words on a page. You might be able to do that, but you might not be able to translate that into being able to apply it to your life and to your work and to your family and to all the places where you need those skills.
And I would imagine, Carla, that at some point when you realized that you needed to improve your reading skills, did you have someone to reach out to say, hey, look, I've got a problem, or were you somewhat apprehensive about talking about your lack of skills at an early age?
Definitely, it makes you apprehensive to speak on it. And today, just, you know, I'm a different person today. Mm-hmm. I have no problem advocating for myself, my children, speaking out, articulating what it is that I need, and other things, you know.
Mm-hmm. And go right ahead, please.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's a part of why it's called what it's called. It's Adult Education and Family Literacy Week, because it's so intertwined together. Quite often we talk to parents and they discuss how it's difficult for them to talk to their children's teachers because they know that they have some literacy needs that haven't been met. And so now they're having to talk to an educator who's mm-hmm. going to find them out, who's going to look at them maybe differently, who maybe will judge their children. And so I talk to teachers quite often about that and about this parent's engagement and what it may be that's affecting their parents from coming into the classroom, from engaging with their children's education fully, if they weren't able to engage with their own education fully.
Yeah, and again, as I said in the very beginning, that even in 2017, you know, in America, where one, you know, would think, hey, look, whether you're in, you know, a wealthy community or, you know, a community that is not as well served as one should hope, there should still be resources in the community, not just for the children, but even for people who, whether they've dropped out or deal with other circumstances that prevent them from getting this information. It's time for folks to kind of step up, because if not, then it's not just about reading, it's about jobs, it's about economics. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I'll bring it from even in America to even in D.C. In D.C., there's an education gap like no other. There's a high population of higher educated folks and those who didn't have those resources. 1 in 5 D.C. residents can't read a bus schedule, a newspaper, or a job application. That's stunning in our nation's capital, and it really speaks to the fact that we don't prioritize educating adults. We put money towards K-12, and that's really valuable in and of itself, but we're not dealing with a population that either didn't get their chance the first time around or they didn't have the opportunity to take advantage of those chances.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Adult Education and Family Literacy Week, the economics of illiteracy. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open. Let's go to Michael. Michael calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great topic. my question is, as a homeschooler, I look at what's necessary to graduate from high school, the requirements, and I compare them to what's necessary to go to some of the top colleges, and there's a huge gap there, right? So then as I research, I find that the funding for high school public education is tied to graduation rate. So my question as it pertains to literacy is, how much of the literacy that we're dealing with today, the illiteracy that we're dealing with today, is tied to the fact that there's a bucket of people who fell out of what they considered to be successful and actually didn't receive the attention because they were grabbing onto what would hold onto their funding versus those that actually dropped off?
Did you get that? That's a really complex question, Michael. Can you simplify it? Because all of us are sitting around the table trying to figure out what you're asking.
Well, what I'm asking is, okay, so when you look at the fact that funding for public education is tied to graduation rate.
So are you asking whether or not funding for public education has, or lack thereof, has anything to do with the adult literacy rate?
No. What I'm asking is, once it's determined that you're not reading on grade level, how much of what we're dealing with today is we've actually ignored those people, and so they end up being today's illiterate.
Okay, go right ahead, Daquana. You wanted to speak to that.
Yes. I think that is definitely a possibility. Where I would really focus in, though, is that it's more likely that there were people whose learning needs weren't being met. And it isn't a systemic, system-wide desire to push certain people out of schools, but it's really that the schools don't have the supports needed to really help those people the way that they need help.
Yeah, at Academy of Hope, we work with learners. About 30% identify as having a learning disability. We believe it's closer to 50%, whether it was identified in their K-12 experience or not, and then whether it was accommodated in the right ways, they're ending up in our school because it's just not. And then we try and figure out the best way to serve them accordingly.
Thank you so much for your question, Michael. And good luck with homeschooling. Since we're on this, Jamie, and both of you are part of programs that try to stem the tide of adult illiteracy. Jamie, you first. Tell me briefly about the program and how adults can be a part of that.
Yeah, so I work for Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter School. We're a school in D.C. for D.C. residents over the age of 18, going all the way up to 82, I believe, at the moment. Our average age is 41. Learners coming back to school to earn their high school credential, or they have it and are working to build their skills so they can go on to college, get the job they want, or lead the life that they want to lead. So if that sounds like somebody listening, then go to our website, aohdc.org.
Say that again. What's the website?
It's aohdc.org. You can apply to be a student. You can also apply to be a volunteer if you feel like you have skills or talents that you can share with our learners. You can be in the classroom. You can tutor. You can join me in my advocacy efforts or all of the above.
And is there a fee for someone who wants to come in and improve their reading skills?
No, it's free for D.C. residents over the age of 18.
Okay. And Daquana, resources from you.
Yes. So I'm with the Maryland Association for Adult Community and Continuing Education. So that's MACE, MAACE. MD.org is our website. There you can find amazing resources, including fact sheets. If you want to know more about what's happening in your community, we have fact sheets for every county in Maryland to discuss this need for adult education. We also have resources for if you need to receive these services. And so if you are in need for any type of adult education, we have the resources there online that you can connect with. And similarly, all of those organizations are always looking for volunteers. For many of them are nonprofits, so they do get government funding, but they always need more. And so we also are always looking for donations and things of that nature.
What's the website again? You said MAACE.org?
Nope, add an MD. So that's MAACCEMD www.whuhr.org.
We're going to get that right in. As always, we're going to make sure that we post that information on whuhr.com. We're going to go to the phone lines after the break. Judith calling from D.C., George also calling from Forestville. We're also going to say goodbye to Carla Gray. Carla, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Continued success for you and your family. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Please stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are open. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Adult Education and Family Literacy Week, and tonight we're talking about broad and very serious implications of adult illiteracy. My guests are Daquana Harrison. She is a board member with the Maryland Association for Adult Community and Continuing Education, and also Jamie Fraggle. She is Director of Communications and Advocacy with the Academy of Hope Adult Charter School in D.C. We are talking about adult literacy. If you are challenged by reading, or if you know someone in D.C. or in Maryland who needs to improve their reading skills for whatever it is that they're doing, even if it's just for the pleasure of reading, give us a call. We are talking about resources tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Judith, calling from D.C. Judith, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say that children learn differently. Mm-hmm. That's a scientific proven fact. And we have spent federal money from the time of JFK, first at HEW and then at the Office of Education, to learn what the neurological differences are. Now, they may lump them all under dyslexia, okay? But there are a multitude of neurological problems that can cause people not to be able to automatically process the 44 phonemes of the English language. And there are ways that have been proven through our tax money, research at different universities, to teach those phonemes and implant them in other neurological centers for people to be able then to identify syllables and learn to read better. Item number two, when calligraphy or cursive writing was taken out of the schools, when people were allowed to print, we lost a process, a neurological process by rote that helped people implant that in their neurological centers or build neurological centers if they didn't have language automacy. And then thirdly, we used to do team reading, team spelling, student helping a student activities that both helped the student that needed to learn and the student that was doing the helping. And we have cut back tremendously on that.
So with all that said, Judith, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
What's your point?
Go ahead.
What's your point?
Multi-sensory structured language education exists, and cursive writing exists. And it not only should be in the schools, it should be in the public libraries. It should be available to adult learners in the public libraries, in the most automated systems and IT systems that we have, because there's the capability to do it. And as long as we continue to ignore the scientifically proven methods of education, the last person to try to bring them to D.C. that not I know about was Superintendent Ackerman. And my point is this. As long as we continue to ignore them, we're not going to be able to bring the teenagers and the adults up to snuff. When I was learning multisensory structured language education, I was told the best time to put it in was kindergarten through third grade.
Well, let me stop you there and see if our panel has any, you know, reaction, you know, to that, because certainly I think the history is important. And I would, but in talking about adult literacy, which is not to say that for those individuals who have the issues and concerns, whether it be dyslexia or others that you just mentioned, I don't know, and maybe my guests can talk about that. How do you deal with adults who just can't read but may have other hindrances?
Yes, it's a really big issue for us. We have to really focus in on the fact that about a third of all adults do have learning needs, and they don't have the plasticity in their brains that a kindergartner has, as Judith was mentioning. One really big focus in adult education is having a growth mindset and understanding that we can learn beyond where we stopped. We can learn differently. A lot of people want to talk about Common Core, and a lot of parents have difficulty with Common Core. But quite often we bring those types of learnings into the adult learner classroom as well. And it's been a big hit. So a lot of the brain research, even though it's not always easy to translate it into the adults, because, again, we've lost some of that plasticity and flexibility, it is really still important. And Judith, I'd recommend you looking into some adult learning theory. You sound like you're very much into research. There's a lot of research that's needed to be done with that. And we need more people who's reading up on it and getting some of those questions out there so that we can get some more research on that.
Any thoughts you want to share, James?
Yeah, I'll just add that I think something important is that a lot of learners come back to Academy of Hope because their kids are either outpacing them in school or they're learning something new that their parents didn't learn when they were going through school, whether that's a math formula or a different way of doing math. A lot of learners come back because they want to learn the way their kids are learning and want to be able to help their kids or their grandkids or whatever kids are under their care with their homework.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for contributing. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, and I want to add that there's also some other students that we're not thinking about. So as an example, our English language learner students, and so we have students who have migrated here, immigrated here from multiple different countries, have amazing skills, amazing talents that we can't bring into the economic front because they don't have the proficiency in English that we need them to have. And so that's a really big population, particularly in for adult education. And so though we can have a conversation about K-12 and how K-12 has helped to grow the adult learner base, there's also a lot of other types of adult learners. And again, some of them may be struggling with learning needs, and some of them may just need that refresher. In the 2009 recession, we had a huge, huge push for people coming into adult education who had never been there before, who have had jobs for 10, 15 years, but lost it because of the economic crash and had to retool themselves. We're talking about people who are getting pushed out by automation, as an example, who now need to figure out, how do I get into college? And I have this huge gap in my learning ability. And so though literacy and those who may not have had gotten all of the skills that they needed in K-12 is a big focus, there's a lot of other groups that I also want to make sure that we talk about.
Judith, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. And to that point, if I'm not mistaken, there was a lobbying effort on Capitol Hill yesterday. Can you talk to me about that? What was done, and what kind of reaction did you get, and what were you attempting to do?
Absolutely. So the MACE board, along with a lot of other adult education associations, went to Capitol Hill. We have a day on the Hill every time that we have this week, the AFL week. And we were really pushing for us to just continue the funding that was put into an act. And so the major act that supports adult education at the federal level is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. That act, we call WIOA, was proposed to be cut by 16%. And that is really going to harm...
In this current budget.
Okay. And we really need it to be fully supported. Right now, the full amount is $649 million, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not. And currently, at least in Maryland, I can say we are only able to serve 10% of the need with our current funding. Hmm. And so to have a 16% cut would definitely affect the adult education world in Maryland.
What kind of reception did you get during this lobbying effort?
So it's always very exciting because we really have people from all over the country coming in. It was a very positive reception. Our delegation was able to, I believe, meet with one of the Western County representatives. And we always get a really positive reception. What we need, though, is it to go beyond pictures, mm-hmm. and it to go beyond wristbands and into real funding.
Jamie, when someone comes to the Academy of Hope, and this is certainly a hypothetical because I don't know about this. For me, not only do I read, I would like to say well, but both of my parents are educators. And so I was particularly blessed in that I grew up in a house full of books. So that was not an issue. But for someone who comes to your organization and says, you know, I can't read. And let's say for the sake of argument that they don't have any of the physiological deficits, dyslexia or anything like that. How do they start? I mean, how is it done? Are we passing out, you know, See Spot Run, See Jane Run? How is it done now in 2017?
Yeah, good question. And I think you've touched on a lot of questions when it comes to adult ed. When I say I work in adult ed, a lot of people have the same questions that you do. When a resident walks through our door, we give them a reading and a math test to place them where they belong.
Reading and math.
Most learners come in with a sixth grade or below reading level and a fourth grade or below math level. We have classes like a regular school or traditional school that comes to mind, reading, math, science, social studies. And we place students according to where they are, which may be different for reading and for math. And then we are about adult ed. See Spot Run doesn't exist in us. We try and make our classes applicable, knowing that these students have lived lives. They've learned a lot. They may not be able to pass the tests that we gave or score as high as they want to, but they have experiences that need to be honored and woven into what we're doing.
How so?
Yeah, so when they're learning a math course, it's not just random problems. It's how to balance a budget. When you're doing long subtraction, you're actually looking at a grocery list and figuring out how much you had in your bank account and here's what's being withdrawn. When you're doing graphs, you're looking at your budget trajectory or your incomes so that you can apply it and go home and use it in your life. So many of our learners have these rich experiences that can't be left at the door, shouldn't be left at the door, and need to be part of the conversation.
That's fascinating because when most people think about literacy, they only think about, and I know I do also, they only think about reading words and not the applying mathematics.
Sure.
And I know that, for me, and with modern technology, I would almost think, as much as important as it is, there are calculators everywhere. So why mathematics?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was just thinking about getting called to come on this radio show and all of the reading and math I had to put in together to figure out how to get here and if I could do it, right? I looked at a map to figure out how far it was from Academy of Hope to the radio station, and I could read a map. I saw how far it was, and I could do math to figure out how long it was going to take me to get from here to there and whether I could make it happen. I am a public transit rider, so I looked at the bus schedule to figure out which bus I needed to get on to get me here in time. All those are reading and math skills that come more naturally to me because that's the schooling I've been given and the opportunities that I've been given.
That's fascinating to me because I'm a pre-Google educated person. And reading maps is second nature to me, but I know that, young people, if you're under 25, God bless you, if you had map reading in school, and I would imagine that a lot of students either didn't get it or didn't pay attention to it, because why should I when I have Google Maps or Waze or a way to get from point A to B on my phone where I don't have to read a map?
Or why should I when I my entire life have had to hide a lot of the other things that I can't do. And so, you know, maybe you could read a map at one point in time, but you haven't been engaging in that activity because of the amount of words that's now on a map, or because we are using maps differently. And to, you know, go along with what Jamie was saying, you know, we're also talking about, is my paycheck correct? Time. So full disclosure, I used to work for Academy of Hope. I was the director of education there. But time on a timesheet, that's math, and you need to know it.
How about that? I want to talk a little bit more about that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about adult literacy and more. The economic... Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Adult Education and Family Literacy Week, and we continue our conversation about the broad and very serious implications of adult illiteracy. Of course, we are here with Taquana Harrison, board member with the Maryland Association for Adult Community and Continuing Education, and Jamie Fraggle. She is Director of Communications and Advocacy with the Academy of Hope Adult Charter School in D.C. I wanted to go back, Jamie, to the conversation that we were having earlier about, we talked about math as it relates to literacy, but I do want to go back to the reading piece and explain to me if we no longer are using, you know, those 10-page C-Spot and Run books that I grew up with back in the ancient days, how do you start someone whose reading skills are very low?
Yeah, I would definitely kick it to Taquana to talk to you about the phonics of phonics. Mm-hmm. But something I just occurred to me, and we were talking about why you need to learn math if there are so many calculators, and it just, you know, makes me think reading skills are so important, not just so you can read the words on the page, but so you understand them. And in the time of fake news and fact versus opinion, that's one of the hardest lessons I ever taught as a teacher in the classroom, was reading and understanding, so you know what you're reading, you know where it came from, you can understand it, and you can apply it, and especially know if it's real, if it's fake, if it's
That's fascinating. How do you do that?
Again, I can only say that I was in the classroom at Academy of Hope in 2009 trying to teach fact versus opinion, and I think it's still one of the most important lessons that we teach. So I cue you up for those two.
Sure. And again, I'm an educator. I'm on the board, but I'm also an educator, and once was with Academy of Hope as the director of instruction. And really, the classes in adult education, we really do have to go as low as our students go. And so there are programs that are specific for low literacy students. And so that's usually fourth grade reading level and below. And those programs, they use a lot of different methods. One great method is the Wilson method. People can look that up if they want to research it.
Well, but since you mentioned it, can you give me a thumbnail sketch of what the Wilson method is?
Yes. And so it really focuses in on how do you help. It really helps the learners to focus in on the different parts of a word. And it does take us back to that moment of really understanding what different vowels really mean.
Sounding out things.
Absolutely, in a lot of different ways. And again, because we have to really focus in on learning needs, we have done things like using sand to write your letters so that you can have that physical touch and remember what that letter sounds like. And so that every time you find that letter again, you have a tactile memory of it. There's a lot of really great learning and great teaching that's happening in adult education, and we're using a lot of those great methods.
Something just occurred to me. My sister, who has a degree in education, but has gone on to, I don't even want to say bigger, but just different things as far as her career. But I remember when she used to talk to me, and she was such a great teacher, just such a fantastic teacher. I love you, sis. She used to talk about taking children outside. And they would sit and they would talk about, they would sit in the grass and she would talk about, you know, they would rub their hands in the grass, and she would talk about grass and green and weeds, and she would have fruit, and she would give all of them oranges, and she would really help them. These were very young children. I mean, these were, you know, kindergartners or preschoolers or what have you. It was early childhood education. But she was getting them to understand that these are not just words, but they are things with smells and textures. And as she would say, words have lives of their own. And is that the kind of thing that you were talking
absolutely,
about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you have to be able to have that adult twist on it, right?
Okay.
Because an adult knows what an orange is.
So and you're so talking
you
about like vodka
twist.
Or... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to use a twist of orange to make it a bit realer. But we do things such as in science, understanding nutritional value and doing smoothies. Right. Mm-hmm. And bringing that in and helping people to understand we do projects and you've seen adult K-12 students do this as well. The amount of sugar that's in a soda versus, a Gatorade versus whatever. And using the baggies of Ziploc full of sugar to show the difference. Those types of things help people with measurement. Help them to understand what is a cup? What is, you know, those types of questions that at one point in time seemed very easy to learn because it was so new. As adult educators, we have to consistently figure out how to tell them something they already know, but how to grasp it in a way that they can then translate into a test or translate it into their lives. So educators like your sister, I would love to, you know, put a little message out there to great educators. We need great educators in adult education as well. We are doing the same type of work, but again, with a group of people who you have to respect what they come in with. We would do a chapter or a theme on the civil rights movement. And we have people who were literally at the first march on Washington. You can't just teach that. You have to be able to infuse their understanding and figure out a way for them to be able to push that out in a way that empowers them and embraces their amazing history and what they already know, while they may not be able to write it in an amazing essay.
Mm. Now, short of graduating with a certificate, how do you, Jamie, measure success with the adult literacy students? And how do they measure success?
Yeah. I just want to say that most students who come who are trying to get their high school diploma pass the GED or the National External Diploma Program and do walk away with a high school diploma from DC. So that's most people's end goals, but not everyone's. And in the meantime, they can increase their test scores. Perhaps they went to the Department of Employment Services and they have a minimum score they need to get into a training program. They can build those skills to get into the program. They can move into the next class. They can take on more classes. They fill out goals, what they want to do at the beginning of the term, whether it's get a job, get a promotion, read more to their kids, become an advocate in their school, a million other goals that they set for themselves, and then work towards achieving those. And we try really hard to honor those as well. Adult education isn't just getting your GED or high school diploma. It is so much more. It's being able to apply that and being proud of that. And whatever your goal is, we try and honor that and work towards that.
Because to that point, I can only imagine the difference. You talk about training programs that may lead to a job as opposed to not getting that job, not getting into the training program, not being able to fill out the basic information that can make a difference between a minimum wage job or not working at all versus a job that could potentially lead to a career.
Yeah. I mean, by 2018, which is next year, and I've been saying that stat for 4 years now, and it's getting very close.
Very close.
70% of jobs are going to require some kind of post-secondary education or training. That's some college or training beyond high school. So that's a very stark indicator of where we need to be and where we need to get our residents and workforce and those who want to be part of the workforce so that they can participate fully.
Daquana, what do people need to know, whether they need to improve their literacy skills or know someone who needs to improve their literacy skills? What do you tell them if they are on the fence about stepping up? Because we are talking about adults, and you talk about meeting them where they are, and suffice it to say, pride, ego, there may even be some reticence to live in that truth.
Absolutely. You are not alone. That's one of the biggest pieces, I think, of the puzzle is both you're not alone in this struggle, as in there's other people are struggling along with you, but there's also people who are here to support and help you. In adult education, we are really focused in on how do we get you where you want to go. We don't want to worry about your past. We don't want to worry about how you got there, because quite often that's the type of information and that's the type of memories that's going to halt you in this progress. So we really want to focus in more on what is your goal? How do we get you there? What supports do you need? And what other supports do you have? In adult education, a lot of times we're not just doing adult education. We're looking at wraparound services. And so we're talking about supporting people in getting childcare because they need to come to school now, right? Transportation and supporting them in giving Metro cards and things of that nature to get them to school. And so really trying to figure out what are all the barriers that's stopping you from getting to that next goal and understand that that's what we are here for.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I want to thank, you know, both of you for coming in and sharing with us. And certainly, you know, I salute you for all of the work that you were doing, not just as far as literacy, but this is more than just reading and math. This is really about, again, economics. It's about jobs. It's about supporting families, helping people become breadwinners and support their families. So I think it is really admirable. And I want to thank you all very much, you know, for coming in, Daquana Harrison and Jamie Fraggle. I appreciate it. And also, as always, the websites for both of these organizations will be posted on WHUR.com as well as the podcast. And so that information can be found there. So again, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.